Welcome back.
I have a feeling I know this is called show number two.
Number two. Because we're about to go right in the shitter.
Everything I ever had to say, I said last week.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here drinking 40 ounce on a Friday night. The suburbs of New Jersey.
Cool. Hey, I don't know if you knew this, but
What do you got there?
Apparently, George Washington joined Led Zeppelin.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
That's not his real hair, please.
Some people age old. Oh,
that's
man.
That's a wig, right? I mean, come on.
That's the worst wig I've ever seen on the front of a magazine cover, let alone Rolling Stone. How can you go out in public like that and be serious? Does he present himself as serious with this?
I don't know.
Because the gentleman in the center, obviously, he used to get laid a lot. But he's got a lot of wrinkles. And the dude on the right, he just looks like a regular English guy.
John Paul Jones?
The thing is, I'm not a Led Zeppelin fan. And I might be the only person on the face of the earth that's really not a Led Zeppelin fan.
Well, we know the drummer is Jason Bonham.
Yeah.
But he's not in the picture.
Well, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. Is Jimmy Page the...
George Washington.
The one with the very, very poor haircut there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of celebrities. You'd be very.
You know what I was always interested
surprised.
In doing? Because as a 30-year-old stressed man, here's Rolling Stone back. Keep my 40 up. Was walking into one of the African American shops in Morristown on my way home and possibly getting fitted for a wig, or possibly some extension, something
funny.
Along those lines.
That's funny.
I thought that'd be an interesting thing to do. Just kind of on my own, and that's really where I am. Like with my comedy. I'm not really big into recording, myself acting like an asshole, but I prefer to just go ahead and just do it, and watch the reactions of the actual people in the places. Cause, my girlfriend can testify to this when, we're out in public and I see somebody who's obviously upset by my appearance or, just generally looks kind of nervous. I'll make a comment or we'll be walking through a supermarket where you get people who really haven't done anything of significance in their life. You know, they popped out three fucking kids and now they're
a bagger on line four.
Yeah, now they're fucking fulfilling a fucking shopping cart to keep the kids nice and filled.
Yeah.
I'll walk by them and I'll say something like, man, this is some of the best stuff I've seen since I've been out of prison.
That's funny.
I've never been to prison personally. I've never been arrested, never been in trouble with the law. Yet. But I am 30.
So yep, you have time.
Yeah, I guess, but it might have already come by now because allegedly most white males get arrested between the age of 18 and 24, along with black males.
Is that what they say?
Between the ages of 18 and 35.
I watch those shows, man, and it's like, you know what, dude? It's like, phew, I am keeping it on the straight and narrow.
Television shows?
Oz, Prison Break. It's just you just do not want to be in a prison.
Really?
Oh my God.
They've shaped your view to the point where you do not want to be in prison?
I am, you know what I mean? Just like for any reason, it's like,
well, it's funny that you actually mentioned that because I read a book by Angela Davis, who was actually a Black Panther back in the 70s, and she was arrested for crack cocaine in the late 1980s. According to her, part of the gentrification project of the white man putting crack cocaine into the black communities. Regardless, Angela speaks very specifically about television shows like that and says that they're absolutely nothing like prison.
Okay.
Prison is 100 times worse than what you already fear.
Wow.
So
I thought you were going to say
I'm not negating what it is you're saying, but the feeling of isolation. I mean, she wrote a book. You know, imagining a society without prisons, like, are we beyond prisons? Where did prison come from? I mean, she's a very progressive writer. I've heard the name, but I didn't. She's a doctor at, UCal, Berkeley. She had this big, fucked-up-looking afro in the 70s, though. She was a funny-looking fucking girl.
That's funny.
But she's a very respectable woman now. And I do appreciate her work for the movement at that time.
Okay, so, keeping on, just a quick other topic. I showed Mike the... Led Zeppelin picture.
Yeah, with the
with
fucking
Jimmy
George
Page, Jimmy
Washington.
Page in the George Washington wig.
Jimmy George Washington Page.
I thought Barbara Bush joined the band.
I can play jazz pentatonics and wear this George Washington wig.
Hey, at least David Lee Roth like cut his hair. Like I don't know. I saw him a few years ago, but still had the really long, like bleached out blonde.
To me, it was funny when Metallica got haircuts.
Right, right. Because you never, and you're a kid. You're like, Metallica's never going to get a haircut.
I was not going to. I was certainly not going to kill them all after they released Reloaded.
Right, right, right.
Load and Reloaded. Oh my God! Oh. In the can and in the can. That was terrible music. Terrible.
What was the album that everybody said they didn't like? It was a couple years ago. Saint Anger. Was that what it was called?
I disliked Metallica starting at the Black Album and everything had done forward. So I kind of really I lost track of them. Saint Anger,
right?
Possibly. And they were, yeah. Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
Was that on there? I don't even know. That was the one.
And all that shit.
And then they had some movie. They had some movie come out where they were like crying and like showing that the band didn't.
I swear to God, I know at least. I know definitely two and a third person within a 75-foot radius of here that could easily play that stuff. It was such a reduction from the Metallica that we knew. And we absolutely loved and grew up with, and we were afraid of. And are they not satanic? And
right when the whole Kiss thing over and over again.
Yeah,
Knights in Satan's Service.
Knights in Satan's Service. That was one of the best fucking PMRC actually launched that one. That's the Parents Music Resource Center headed by a progressive Tipper candidate, Gore. Tipper Gore.
I remember watching those.
Al Gore's wife. Oh my God, with Dee Snider and Frank Zappa.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, Zappa was the guy that explained to me, and this goes into a little bit of the podcast stuff, that the word fuck can be used in at least 13 up to 15 different ways in the English language.
I think George Carlin also did a routine on that.
I'm sure that he did, but Zappa particularly brought it up. I remember one time on I believe it was a Crossfire or a Firing Line. It was one of those shows where you have a guy in the center who's angry, and he's obviously his face is. I have a round head, so you know I'm a cesarean section child. But one of those kids that have those big fucking potato heads,
right,
sitting right in the middle with this big fat ugly fucking head, going, nah, you can't say this. We have to protect the children. And then there's a guy on his left.
I remember that.
Going, okay, well, Frank, do you think that we have to protect the children? And Frank's like, I'm going to protect my fucking children.
Right. The way I want to.
How I want to. And I'm insulted. I am absolutely insulted that you would try to sanitize what comes into my home by your standards.
And that's what the stance was. It's like, why are
you
saying,
Frank, well, are you an anarchist? Right. Do you believe in the rule of no law? And he's like, get the fuck out of here. Of course not. Frank Zappa's a capitalist. How many records has he sold? Not an anarchist.
No, it was ridiculous.
He might have anarchist leanings, but he's certainly not an anarchist.
All those people have just their own reasons, and a band, a celebrity, whenever you get to the top, somebody's going to try to knock them down.
Absolutely. You knock them down a peg because they're up the highest.
Yeah.
They're the easiest target.
Easiest targets.
Well, and I guess that's a part of being famous, because they say there's no press. No press is bad press. But if you get bad press, it's actually good, because it still puts your name out in the paper, even though it says, you know, you, I don't know, fucked a kid in the ass while he ate a dead dog or something like that. You know, something absolutely abhorrent and terrible.
That's disgusting.
But they'd still be like, hey, that was that dog fucker. I'm going to go pay $20 to go see him in concert. Yeah, sure. I'll pay money for his record. I watched him eat a 14, or R. Kelly, I watched him eat a 14-year-old girl's ass and then piss all over her face. And I'll still buy his records.
My niece saw R. Kelly baseball. It was a baseball card type of thing that came with his CD. He had like
the stats on the back.
No, it had black leather jacket, and his head was shaved. And she goes, that's Uncle Ron. I looked in the mirror, okay, just to check my skin.
If we doused you in Hershey syrup and magic shell,
then maybe
you might look a little.
Get me in a video with a 15-year-old Ron Kelly.
That's what the R stands for.
Yeah, right.
It's really Ron. That's what you really.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware.
Kids, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't even really aware of him until his sex tape came out, and then I heard that he was an R&B singer, and black women were going crazy for him, and all kinds of shit.
It's ridiculous. R&B,
rhythm and bass, rhythm and blues,
rhythm and boys,
rhythm and
rhythm and boys,
rhythm and boys. He's a rhythm and boys singer. The one thing I read, and I think you probably have something to say about this, I don't know if you read about, it was a girl that had a friend in high school. They were really good friends.
Was this also in the Rolling Stone with the George Washington Rolling Stone?
This wasn't, but I'm sure it might have been. I didn't.
Those guys might have fought in the Revolutionary War, Led Zeppelin.
They might have been.
The way the looks of their face, I would say just say no to heroin.
This girl and her friend they got into like a tiff in school, and so...
Where did you read about this, though? Was this on a credible mainstream news site?
Absolutely. It's all over now. And, okay. So the one girl went to her mom and she's like, you know what? I hate this girl. You know what I want to do, mom? I want to start a, I think it was, yeah, I want to start a MySpace page. Mm-hmm. Pretend my name is, pretend I'm a boy and my name is Josh.
Okay.
So the mom was in on this with the girl. Yeah, let's do this to get back at your friend. And they did it. And Josh was talking to this, Josh, quote unquote, really the girl,
yeah,
was talking to her ex-friend and becoming friends until it was like a real...
Wait, can I stop you right there?
Sure.
Okay, so Josh, so that there was one girl who had an argument with another girl.
Right.
Girl A, or I don't know if you've got a name or like a little profile on them, but I wonder if the girl, the first girl, who's actually involved with her mother. Because the thing is, in order to get a family member involved in problems that you're having with your friends at school, I would have to say that you're in a pretty desperate situation, or you're a cheerleader or softball player. Because have you ever seen those fucking mothers?
Oh, yeah.
That wear?
Nice.
That's from the 40 ounces of beer. Oh, actually, I've only probably drinking about 20 ounces of beer.
Oh, here it is.
But she, okay, in order to get the mother enlisted, I'm guessing, without looking at this now, I'm not a very, you
know, no.
I'm guessing she's either the cheerleader or softball. I mean, soccer mom is such a fucking, you know, I mean, just because it's the fall season, she might be playing soccer because she's a softball fucking dyke.
Exactly.
Dyke. I've met the exception to that rule. I do know of a heterosexual female who is... I mean, she's
heterosexual
female.
Okay, I think
yeah, who's actually from New Jersey, like Union, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, she might wear a lot of you know, hair care products in accordance with her fashion. Who's not a homosexual, but I'm guessing. Getting back to this, I'm guessing that she, this girl, and her mother were in some kind of a fucking thing, because you're not going to bring your parents into it. Why? Like, would you ever walk up to your mom and be like, "Yo, mom"? Listen, I'm having this real problem. Maybe it's gender specific, but I wouldn't even walk with my father and be like, I'm having a problem with this person. Can you help me build a MySpace page to get back at them?
Right. And just to update, I'll just read through this real quick. A Missouri prosecutor said Monday no charges would be sought in the case of a teen who hanged herself last year after chatting on MySpace, although he said adults should have prevented the tragedy. Megan Meyer, 13, killed herself after receiving a critical message.
They're releasing the name of a 13-year-old girl who hung herself?
Yeah. Yep.
Poor fucking girl.
She killed herself after receiving a critical message on the MySpace social network from someone she thought was a boy named Josh.
That's not right, man.
St. Charles County, Missouri, prosecuting attorney Jack Banis said an 18-year-old woman posed as Josh on MySpace to find out what Megan was saying about a neighbor's daughter. The message said Megan was mean to her friends. There's no way that anybody could know that talking to someone or saying that you're mean to your friends on the internet would create a substantial risk. That's what Bananas said.
Substantial risk as the judge?
I guess.
I guess it would be a judge would rule on this, that it wouldn't be a jury case.
So Josh said to her, you know, at one point you have no reason, the world does not need you, and she got so upset she went up into the room and hung herself.
Really?
And this was not Josh. This was the girl's ex-friend and the mother all involved in this.
Yeah, who are building the criterion, yeah, for a child.
Isn't that screwed up?
Who's 13 years old and to kill herself. I mean, to completely end life when you're just entering it, basically. I mean, yeah, I've had a lot of fond memories before the age of 13, but I've had a fucking shitload more since.
Exactly.
If I cut my life off at 13, things would not be good. Even though I did, I will give myself props here, Ron.
Oh no, absolutely! That's what this show's about.
Because check this out. When I was 13, I saw my first pair of boobs. The girl was 16.
Wow!
I was the fucking man in my head. I was Beautiful. The man. I was like, yeah.
Were you hiding in a gym locker? How'd you see that?
No. I know you're saying. Oh, and this is gonna actually. The thing is, I believe you will appreciate this as a connoisseur of the type of music that you are. I was at a dance at Malvern Prep School in southeastern Pennsylvania. Which, wow. I'm gonna have to get back to southeastern Pennsylvania before the show is over, because I do want to correct some things that I did say in the last show. When I heard them again, I was like, well, I didn't really finish that thought. But I was at the Malvern Prep School, and this girl walks up to me, And because I'm there and I'm, you know, I'm all fucking macked out with my, you know, whatever.
Macked out.
Guest jeans at the time, you know. And
right.
Wearing all that stuff. Like, just before I saw the Gorilla Biscuits and TSOL in concert, when I was really trying to be, like, preppy, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and
you're not really trying to make fun of the fact that I'm wearing guest jeans tonight.
Oh, what a homo. Yeah. What a homo.
Holy shit, I went into the Maces and I made a right. When it's made a right instead of a left. That one little department.
Can I have some guest jeans?
Yeah.
Sure thing, sailor. Anything you wish. Anyway,
I call him guest because it's like guess my sexuality.
So I was dressed in the height of fashion in the sixth or seventh grade, whatever it was that I was in when I was 13 years old, and this girl Jean walks up to me. I'll never forget it. And maybe I'll edit it out. Maybe I won't. But it's Jean Lombardo from the Villa Walsh Academy. In, I believe it was Fraser or Paoli, Pennsylvania.
Wait, what was her last name?
Lombardo.
Dude, she showed her tits to everybody. I saw them too at 13.
There is no fucking... All right, okay, here's the question.
That was her thing.
If you saw Jean's tits...
The mole under the left nipple. Saw
no, no,
done,
it's not
done.
The mole. It's
nope.
Not, it's not the mole. It's which fruit did her boobs resemble? You may be able to distinguish that. Which fruit or vegetable would you best describe? Because there's some girls who have boobs that look like tomatoes. Some girls
have
watermelons. Some girls have, you know what I mean? There are all different kinds of boobs. Which fruit would you best describe? And then I get back into the story.
Two gourds.
Gourds. Incorrect.
All right, maybe it wasn't her.
Completely wrong. Wrong Jean Lombardo. Jean Lombardo walks up to me at this dance and says to you, tomorrow is John's birthday. And I'm looking at her and I say, John? I'm like, who the fuck is John?
Right.
John Bon Jovi, my favorite
That's
singer.
Funny. Well, you gotta explain though that you
and,
grew
and
up.
And I, well, this is my whole fucking hook. This is what got me boobs. Bon Jovi actually got me boobs because I'm like, you know, I'm like, I was born in Sayreville. Well, I was born in Edison, but I lived in Sayreville my whole right. The first 5 years. 5 years?
What's the,
no? I lived in one fucking apartment.
What high school did you go to?
High schools. I went to two different high schools. I went to Great Valley in Malvern. And I went to Mars Knowles here in northern New Jersey.
What's the high school, though, that people from Edison and Sarah went to? It was a specific high school. My friend Sam went there in college, and he told me
my older brother went to the same high school and had the same teachers, and I had one of the same teachers as Bon Jovi.
It was the keyboard player went there. I don't know if it was...
J.P. Stevens?
That's it. J.P. Stevens.
J.P. Stevens was one of the biggest rivals of Sayreville High School because they were extreme proximity. But regardless, they got busted in a big steroid scandal, Sayreville High School.
Sorry to get onto a Bon Jovi conversation. I don't think the show was started for that.
No, but this is not a fucking Bon Jovi conversation.
Next up is a Lost Highway review.
This is a conversation about me finding boobs for the first time. I was 13
years old.
She was 16. I was at a Malvern prep dance. She asked me if tomorrow is John's birthday. I said, I do not know that tomorrow. I don't know who the fuck John is. She said, oh, John Bon Jovi. And I said, oh, well, I'm actually from Sayreville. She's like, oh, really? Well, my name is Jean, and I want to possibly dance with you slowly.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, awesome. This is going to rule.
And then Never Say Goodbye comes on.
Oh my God. Forget it. That's when I kissed her. How the fuck did you know that?
Really?
I swear to God. When we were... Okay, so then we hook up again like two weeks later.
Here, you keep talking, right? I'm going to be background music. You keep talking. Go.
Because Malvern Prep
you and
had
me, we had a fight
this...
the band that played song.
These fucking 2 weeks apart, Malvern Prep was an all-male school. And they used to have mixers with Villa Walsh. And Villa Walsh was one of the schools that she went to. So we got together and we locked lips for probably about 45 minutes.
Holy shit.
Do you understand like what it's like to be like completely on top of like somebody else's mouth and have somebody else's mouth completely? I got bored. I got bored. On my first couple fucking kisses with this girl. She wasn't my first kiss though.
To never say goodbye.
Is that Cinderella doing Bon Jovi? What the fuck was that? Chow. That's Tom Kiefer from Cinderella telling people to eat. Chow.
Time to eat.
Chow.
Chow down, motherfucker!
So, Gene, I always wonder, because I'm 30 now, I always wonder what the 33-year-old Jean Lombardo looks like, because when I saw her last, intimately, I had her over to my, because I had a vacation this week, it reminds me kind of Easter vacation, but it's actually Winter Vacation. Easter Vacation, regardless, is when I saw her.
Jean Lombardo.
This was the girl who was like, oh, you're from Sayreville? Well, check me out. And she comes over to my house, and we go up into the bedroom, and I start playing like, boom, 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 let's go back to my room so we can
with
do
Jean
it
Lombardo.
With Jean Lombardo and her weird tits. Boom,
my, boom, boom. My first kiss was with Eugene Lombardo. I'm proud.
Yeah. Homo.
Yeah. Homo says what?
She comes over and we're making out and I put on Motley Crue's Theater of Pain.
That's the one to do it to.
Holy shit, that album worked.
Something
like,
for nothing. In and out, it's never free.
That album worked like magic. The only thing was I had no move, but the thing is, we made out and we're making out and I got her to take her shirt off and everything, and her boobs looked like here's the cue for the drum roll.
We don't have the sound effects up yet, so
bananas. Banana boobs. She had straight up banana boobs that fell right into her armpits. It was the strangest, monkeyest,
crazy,
weirdest fucking shit I have ever seen in my entire life. In all my years,
I can't even picture what you're talking about. Like,
she had boobs. They came down. They came down and they came out. And then they like gravity like pushed them over because I was on top of her applying some hip pressure as I was. You know, of course, I was trying to dry hump her. I was like, what the fuck. But the
I need to see this. Can we call her?
And the thing is, I could not get her fucking her pants off,
right?
Because she had underwear underneath the whole thing. I find out after she has like these tight stretchy pants underneath these cut off like fucking jean pants. Well, her name was Jean. Like these jean shorts. And it was terrible trying to get them off because I was trying to feel her up. I was trying to play Stinky Pinky for the first fucking time.
Trying to unpull.
I was going for the whole fucking thing. And my move was this. I pull out a rubber and I'm like,
pulled out a banana peel.
I'm like, why don't we try one of these? I fucking said that to a chick. I was like, why don't we try one of these?
That's awesome.
And she was like, she played it so fucking cool. But I was, oh my God, I'm such a fucking idiot. I could have fucked that chick. I'm glad. In hindsight, I'm glad that I did not.
How did it stop? If you had the momentum going,
something along
those
lines.
You saw her
tits. Like, really, seriously.
Did this girl have a dole tattoo on breast number one?
Or breast number two?
Or yeah.
That's very monkeyish of her. You know. I understand.
I just need to see something that even resembles these breasts.
Well, the thing is, it was probably a girl that was blossoming late, and I don't know what the fuck she saw in me.
How do you wear a bra with two banana breasts?
Well, let me tell you, that was fucking hysterical.
Tie two condoms together with a string.
It was hysterical. Looking at what came out, I was like, what the fuck? Is this like a fucking slinky?
Is this a joke?
Is this something like you... What do you know, those knives that you push into somebody... And the knife actually retracts. It's a plastic thing. It retracts back into the handle.
Right.
I thought her boobs were like that. It was like, you know, you just press on the nipple and it'll retract right into her.
I would have ran.
No, she was up in my bedroom. And check this out. I have two brothers and a sister. One of my brothers is older. He's 5 years older. He's the person who actually drove her over. In the blue station wagon. With
I would have
the,
drove over her.
With the nice wooden paneling.
Right. I saw those things.
That's right. We had wooden panelings. But the thing is, at that point, the only breasts I really had them to compare to were like Playboy, Penthouse, and everything else that's not real in this world.
Right.
Which is...
Nah.
Which, I mean, and later I found out that some of it is partially, some of it is actually fully real. Regardless, the cobwebs in my brain. My older brother drove, he was a perpetrator in the crime, because our younger brother, who's actually 5 years younger than me, he's like, I figure I'm 13, so that would make him 8. He, as soon as my mother gets home from work at this point, because we were all, you know, obviously of school age, she walks in, and my brother, I'll never fucking forget this, my younger brother, in his little kid voice, he goes, Michael and his girlfriend were upstairs. And they were making love.
No way.
He fucking said that shit to my mom. I mean, she gets, you know when you get home from work and you just don't want to be bothered with anything?
Right.
She walks into a house of like four fucking nutcases.
That is
like
great,
three
dude.
Of us are, I mean, there's like one obvious ringleader, my older brother, who's now a police officer. And I'm definitely a laugher as well as my younger brother. And we used to play pranks on each other. And, you know, all kinds of just stupidity would just go on in the house. You know, fucking sliding boxes down the stairs or setting up Plinko, the almighty Price is Right game.
Plinko? Oh, my God. Plinko? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Okay, so
I think I would ever hear that name again.
Well, what we do is we would assemble cardboard boxes at the bottom of the stairs, and we would have them as, you know, different point durations, and we would roll. I don't know if you remember the Fisher-Price plastic bowling set. But there was these plastic bowling balls, which were perfect for that. And we used to fucking set them up and roll them up and down the stairs until we got into a fight with one of the bowling balls. You end up bouncing it off the wall and hitting it in your brother's head, and you end up laughing at your ass off.
Mom always said never play ball in the house.
Well, that's the thing. She'd come home, we'd have to explain, like, another fucking, like, dent in the wall, or my brother, like, why is your brother bleeding?
Yeah.
These are questions my mother has asked me. Can you please tell me why your brother is bleeding and crying?
And fucking a girl in the next room?
like I said, my mother's Catholic. She would never... I've heard my mother swear twice in my entire life. Twice. And that was when I actually worked with her. And she was describing a person who was not a very good person.
What was the swear word?
No, he was a fucking asshole.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah.
No, I was talking to you.
I remember one day she said, son of a bitch. And that really struck me. I remember I was a young kid.
This is true. This is my mom's. I'm trying to think of her two phrases. She used to, like, about to curse, but me and my brother were little. We're in the room.
Oh, my mother used to. Yeah, I didn't realize that until you get older.
So here's what used to come out was, I think she got this from my Italian grandmother. She'd do something. She'd burn something on the stove. It was your mother's tits. I don't even know where that fucking came from. Your mother's tits. I swear to God, I'm not even kidding. Your mother's tits. I'm like, what about my mom's tits? What are you trying to say? And then the other one was she used to catch herself. Like that.
At least they don't look like bananas.
Wait, she's okay with saying your mother's tits, but instead of son of a bitch, she would change it to son of a beer pitcher. I'd rather hear your mother's tits change to like your mother's whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Tuna salad.
Yeah, why the fuck are you talking about my mom's boobs? My mother out of this.
I don't know. It's just, you know, a kid looking up going, what is she talking about? But yet she's my mom. I respect her, so my mother's tits. You know what I mean? Did I say that in school the next day?
Michael and Jane were upstairs, and they were making love.
You're like, no, we were fucking, okay? Love is for gay people.
I wish that I was fucking somebody up there, but I was sucking on fucking banana boobs. Listening to the fucking Theater of Pain from Motley Crue.
That's awesome, though, that you just put that on there.
Put it on my cassette player, you know, like my awesome cassette player with my, like, hey, check out my dual cassette player. Like, you know, I can record anything that I want, and I can put the tracks to music any which way that I want on my cassette, my dual cassette recorder.
Talk about not being hip. Swear to God, I once banged a girl at the Paul Stanley solo album. Bottom of the barrel. Oh my God. Wouldn't you like to know me? Wouldn't you like you care?
You just, well, the thing is, involuntarily there, you just revealed that you're...
That was a Glassboro State.
Rowan
University.
Well, the thing is, yeah, your duration is the duration of Paul Stanley's solo album. And I think that was at least a 48 minute album.
Was it what?
trying to get Ron's home.
Your mother's tits, Mike. Not your mother, but I mean, it's a statement now. It doesn't mean anybody's mother.
Your mother's tits.
Going back to last week's show.
Yeah, I wanted to.
How did it go? I think it went. I mean, you know, I think we had fun.
Well, it was a decent pilot. I was comfortable. I was happy, and I, you know, you and I had a good conversation last night about that, and you know, I think we got something good going here.
We ran the gamut with topics, Catholic priests.
Oh, Lord. Well, the thing is, we have enough material here to do this for hours.
Your priest's cock. That's what I'm going to start. Your priest's cock instead of your mother's tits.
Yeah, your priest's cock and your mother's tits. Your priest's cock between your mother's tits.
The altar boy's balls.
Skeet, skeet, skeet. Skeet, skeet, skeet. Getting back to last week, though, I did throw something out there, and I, as I was going through and I was editing this.
Retraction coming up. I smell retraction.
No fucking retraction.
Okay. Explanation coming up.
I said fucking Jews, and I was fucking pissed, and I still fucking am.
Yeah, but you know, you could say fucking Catholics, fucking this, everybody. Let's be equally, you know.
But the thing is, I've not had a uniform experience with any other group of people aside from people of the Jewish faith.
Right.
And listen, Ron, do you want to read my T-shirt for the audience here?
Okay, ready? Air Supply reunion tour.
Fucking faggot. Ron's T-shirt, Bon Jovi blue load here.
Yeah. With an arrow on to my chest.
Arrow pointing up.
A little chin painting going on here.
No, but regardless, it's a dead Kennedy song, and it's a mantra that I've certainly have repeated many times, and it's Nazi punks, fuck off. In no way do I support anti-Semitism, as I do specifically. Speak about Semitic people, which include Persians, as well as Israelis, as well as Palestinians, as well as everybody else in that particular area who classify themselves that way. The thing is, I don't want to come off as a pompous dick, but at the same time, I'm not a
too late.
I'm not a stupid asshole who goes and just and typecasts an entire group of people. Because my favorite people on the face of this earth actually happen to be of the Jewish religion.
Anybody that's going to listen to the show is going to know that anyway.
Yeah,
I know that,
but I want to make this perfectly...
This is a comedy show.
I want to make this perfectly fucking clear.
If only we could start doing comedy.
And that is the people that I've experienced in my life who've been Jewish have been extremely whiny.
Been Jewish? As in they've...
They still
Jane?
Are.
Okay.
They came out of a Jewish vagina, which is the only thing that makes you Jewish.
Okay.
Because I do want to share a little...
Your mother's Jewish vagina.
A little dichotomy here. And your Catholic priest dick between your mother's tits. The little dichotomy that I have here is that some of my favorite people on this earth are in fact Jewish. Noam Chomsky particularly comes to mind. It was, you know, he actually went to Hebrew school.
Lenny Kravitz.
Only half of Lenny Kravitz is the part that I like.
The bottom half.
Yeah, the black half. The lead guitar player as well as the founder. And now I believe he's just an operator of Epitaph Records.
Is that right?
Bad Religion. Brett Gurewitz is also obviously in the Jewish tradition. You know, I've got nothing against Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a great person. I think that there's many people like that. But I can tell you... The one thing that I've looked back on in my life, and I've always, you know, you ever just meet somebody and you just, there's something about them that you don't like? Has that ever happened to you?
At work every day.
Okay. Regardless, it happens to
some of the corporate people you can work with. You're just like, you have no social skills. What are you doing at this top position?
Yeah.
You can't even say hello or hey, how you doing? What's going on? You're just in your own world.
That's an arrogant.
I could go on to that for an hour, but that's another show.
That's an arrogant class thing, which is another thing that I seriously resent.
You ever notice that the word ignore is also in the word ignorant?
Yes, and I also because a lot of times people come up with simple slogans like fuck the rich, but when you actually work for somebody who is very, very rich and they're very, very abusive, you can honestly say that. Somebody who's making a ton of money off of the work that you do.
Here's what an asshole heavy metal glam band guy I am. You said fuck the rich, and all of a sudden I think of Crocus, eat the rich. I'm such an ass. This is all I know. We just have to do a night on 80s.
There's no
glam hair, man. I swear to God, every reference in my head goes to that shit.
Hair metal.
It's scary.
And there's
I need to go see a shrink.
Just always remember, there's no war but class war. But listen, I wanted to talk specifically about... my actions in helping some Jewish people out, because there was a group of people who were in clubs that I used to go to. You know, a lot of times the Nazis would show up, and we worked.
Really? See, another world. I just never.
Well, the thing is, it was punk clubs in the middle '90s, and there was a sentiment towards almost nationalism because we were in a little bit of an influx there where we didn't have a real good common enemy like terrorists or communists or ists whatever the ists were that we hated at the time. So it really it was really a good fertile breeding ground for these disenfranchised white kids. And I was in the area of southeastern Pennsylvania at the time. I did it work with the southeastern Pennsylvania Anarchist Collective, as well as the anti-racist actions. Direct.
That's awesome. That's, I never knew that stuff.
Yeah, the anti-racist actions.
That's great.
Yeah, the direct action wing, where we would physically remove people from clubs who were trying to distribute Nazi literature, as well as anybody who came to a club wearing a T-shirt that said something like, you know, Adolf Hitler, great person.
That stuff is still around. And you know what? I'm so out of the friggin' loop. I would say that the last time I heard about that stuff was like the talk shows in the 80s.
I was on a website last night called nothingtoxic.com. I definitely recommend you guys go there and check out some of the videos because they're raw and they're real.
I think I've been there, actually.
Which is 100%.
I really do.
Yeah, because nothing toxic has... I mean,
it was a link off of a website.
Exactly. You'll pop up a different video. They have the... They currently estimate that there's about 200... what did the number come to? 50,000 racist skinheads in Russia. And they were distributing these videos of them beating people on the... on the subway or the what the fuck do they call it, the underground in London, because a lot of the media that distributes this is foreign because the American media would never touch it. But the KKK is active very...
Wait, you're saying the American media edits things?
I could do a 15-hour show about the American media. I would just read you the book Manufacturing Consent, written by Edward S. Herman and Noam Chomsky.
Nice.
But, I mean, it's a really good analysis of that. But there's active Nazi clubs here in New Jersey. Sussex County is a breeding ground for disenfranchised white people, because what they did was they actually put a project in Newton. Did you see that shit?
No.
They put black people in the middle of white land, and there is going to be catastrophic results. I mean, yes, it will integrate. It'll integrate the same way Sayreville did, which is the same way my family got me the fuck out of there. Because I remember those low-income people coming in from Brooklyn and kicking my ass very specifically, because when they got home, Mom and Dad were kicking their ass. Any kind of a lumping that I could put on them was absolutely nothing compared to the belt that Dad wielded, you know, that very night. So I was up against...
Where was that?
This was in Sayreville. This was just when we moved out. It was called Lakeview Apartment Buildings.
Was that before or after MTV was selling John Bon Jovi's childhood house?
I think that was after the fact. Because I do remember when they constructed Lakeview, it ruined one of my fishing holes, and I was pretty pissed off about it. But it was part of the direct action that I took as a child against the developers in Sayreville. Which I mean, I can get into if you want to talk about that. But and let me clarify what I mean by direct action. I generally am a peaceful person. I'm not violent. I mean, Ron can testify to the fact that I don't. I'm not very argumentative.
Ow, dude! Why'd you do that?
Fucking bitch,
fucking bastard!
The fact that I'm not very I'm not going to argue people about stupid shit. And get into nothing fights. But when you show up at a show dressed up like Adolf Hitler and you're sporting a swastika...
Whoever's wearing that fake mustache isn't getting laid that night.
At very least, you're offending... you're offending me on a personal level, because my grandfather took shrapnel over Bonn, Germany, and crashed the English Channel in order to defeat the Nazi army. So as an American... It makes no sense to be Nazi, because it was an army that was already defeated, and I don't understand how anybody can support an army that was already defeated, including the Confederacy, including anything else. You know, it's obviously they already came up against the opposition, they put their best foot forward, and they got shut the fuck down. And the reason why they got shut down is because they're not popular. But in Russia, you have an absolutely great breeding ground for people who are... Who are very, very victimized right now by the raw. And I mean, they're even calling it in Wall Street Journal, they call it capitalism with the gloves off. Just a very street level a mafia kind of dealing in Russia, where whoever has the strongest gang is going to win. And the fact that they have an ethnic heritage in common unites the youth. Like, I watch these things on Nothing Toxic, getting back to Nothing Toxic.
Right.
These 10-year-old kids who are homeless in the Ukraine. Beat the shit out of this homeless guy and took all of his shit, took all of his stuff, because they didn't have anything. There's people like that walking the earth in 2007.
That's crazy.
Instead of Oliver Twist, and the idiots who keep up this literature and keep up things like micetrap.com. I remember they were out of Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we handled a couple of those boys a few nights, in a very, very direct way, where they, you know, they were no longer able to communicate their message.
See, this is a world that, that's why I'm not necessarily, I don't even know. I'm like, hey, what do you think of the new Maroon 5 CD?
But have you ever seen anybody, though, distributing literature? I don't know if you've ever been.
Well, in Vegas, but that's when they flick the card twice and hand you a naked chick.
No, but on the city of
Vegas. You ever hear that sound in Vegas?
Yeah.
Guarantee you're going to get a naked chick in your hand in about 2 seconds.
In the city,
little card.
In the city of New York, though, have you ever been approached by nationalists who have been
I was approached by a guy with a knife once. I was looking to buy a fake ID when I was like 16.
Oh, we were trying to say,
get the fuck in here. Get the fuck in here. It was 42nd Street.
42nd?
Now they say get the fuck in there to talk about the Lion King.
Yeah, but 42nd Street. No. Talk to me about 42nd Street back then.
Swear to God.
You're 16 years old, and you walk into
me and my drummer at the time going into the city, and we're looking to get a fake ID. Hey, you want a fake ID? Come in here. All of a sudden, the guy literally pulls a knife on us. He's with six other guys. They're all starting to try to get us into a back fucking room.
Was this a retractable knife, or did he flip it out? Was it a Rambo knife? Like, do you remember what the knife looked like?
I just saw a knife. It was like a pocket knife.
What I wanted to drive out there was that a lot of times people that get knives pulled on them only remember the knife and don't remember the person's face. Do you remember what this guy looked like?
No.
Do you remember what the dude looked like at all?
Looked like Reggie Jackson.
Oh, really? No, I was just a black dude.
No, he was wearing a Yankee uniform. The white guy.
Hey, man.
No, it wasn't. Get the fuck in here. All I knew was get the fuck in here.
So what did you do after?
Swear to God, we could have got hit by traffic.
Hey, man.
But we chose the only safe thing to do at that point is to run right into the middle of the fucking street, and we didn't. Thank God there were no cars coming. We ran right into the street. They didn't follow us out. They stopped. They backed off.
Really? But they were trying to corner you with a knife.
Get into this room. Get into this room.
Wow, as a 16-year-old, that would have definitely jaded me.
But we ended up getting fake IDs so we could go to Lemoore East in Queens and see all our heavy metal bands. And, and we had two IDs. We had one that was 18, and then we also had one that was 21, which we didn't look at the time. But
yeah,
I mean, we
16
still,
to 21 is quite a
we
difference.
We still did it. But
you don't realize when you're 16 that you don't look like you're 21. I mean, you were smart. See, I would have gotten that fucker taken away from me.
Yeah.
But I was never desperate enough to drink. I take that back. I retract that statement. I was never desperate enough to actually go buy alcohol. No. I always had people around me that would
do it, because if you try it yourself, it's ridiculous. You try to grow that little Spanish dishwasher mustache.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the thing is, as somebody who's mostly Irish, I've been growing this thing out for probably for 8-9 days now since my last.
It's
probably what an Italian guy goes through in like 2 days.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Well, I'm half Sicilian, so.
It's absolutely terrible. Yeah, Ron. I thought I saw buckwheat popping out of the back of his shirt before, but I was wrong.
I shave in the morning and at 3 a.m.
No, but getting back to, and I do apologize that we've deviated this far to tangent.
Digressed. I think that's the word you're going.
Was that I have nothing against the.
Keep talking. I gotta piss.
Against the Jewish people in general. No, absolutely. Get up and pee. I have absolutely nothing against Jewish people at all, and the fact that I might get angry and be infuriated by the fact that some people choose to act in a very particular way, and I do believe that it is a choice. I'm not sure if it is learned by a mother, because I am familiar with an entire family, as I divulged in the last podcast here, that I did date a Jewish girl. Back when I was in college, and I mean, she'll probably fucking flip out on me if I say anything about this, but it was a long time ago, and I'm not bringing up anybody's name. Regardless, if you've ever seen the show Saturday Night Live, you can definitely relate to Michael Myers' character in Coffee Talk. I don't attempt to do that impersonation. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very, funny that way. And I don't intend to be. However, people like Michael Myers' character in Saturday Night Live honestly do exist. And I met one, and let me tell you, the first time that I did meet her, I was outside on a blanket with my...
Wait, I just got back. Who did you meet?
I was... this is the first time that I met a Jewish mother. I met her...
How could you tell she was acting Italian?
Believe me, it's very similar, dude.
I met her...
I swear to God it is.
When I was outside of a dorm room during summer session, and my girlfriend and I had rolled out a blanket, and we rolled up a couple of joints, and we smoked one of them, and I see her mother coming up, and I immediately, you know, as a rational human being, put them away, saying, oh, Lord, you know, this is somebody's mother who's coming. This is going to be crazy. She comes up to us, has about a 30-second conversation, and says, you two are stoned. Do you have any more? Are we going to smoke a joint out here? Or are we going to smoke a joint inside? It turns out that she was a lesbian.
The pot-smoking mother lesbian.
She was
Jewish lesbian.
She was a lesbian, and her partner did not accept my girlfriend, and therefore her mother did not accept my girlfriend, and it was a very tense situation, but I could really see the relationship there between a Jewish girl and a Jewish mother, and I really explored that with this girl because she had gone to many camps and many Jewish youth council kind of things, you know.
You should have pulled the Henry Hill thing in Goodfellas. I hear you're half Jewish. Only the good half.
Only the good half. I never presented myself as Jewish. Then the whole thing is, and she
watched that movie.
She even goofed on me about it because, like, there was no way in hell I could ever pull off being a Jewish person, and you know, and I can't say I can't say enough that I, you know, I got no fucking issue. I judge people by person by person, and so far the commonality in people that I seriously have a problem with as soon as I meet them tends to be Jewish, and when that changes, I will I'll let everybody know. I haven't met black people like that. I haven't met Mexican or Spanish or anybody else like that. Everybody else has been very more along the lines of class than anything else.
Yeah, I have my most problems with white people. Well, to be very honest with you.
Well, yeah. Well, honestly, though, like Jewish
corporate pricks.
Well, the thing is, yeah, but you're dealing with a class issue there, which is very real to you because, you know, the money that the company gives you for the time that you spend there and the amount of energy that you put into your work, allegedly.
To be very honest with you right now, some of my best friends are not white.
That's great.
I'm serious, man. Yeah. They're the best people to me.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, I work wherever. It's just the truth, man. It's really true.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I found the commonality is it's more about the socioeconomic status that you grew up in as a child. You know, did you go to college? It's like, hey, yeah, you know, I went to college here. Like, you know, I have, you know, plenty of friends of different, you know, ethnicities, but we're all basically educated the same way. That's the one thing that I have found in common is the education level.
Well, education means everything. You know?
Yeah.
We don't need no thought control.